Before I start, I really want to pray that Holy Spirit will touch you in a way that you've never been touched before. And the message that I will be sharing, it's pretty much continuation of what Thomas was already praying and speaking up on the stage. I love how Holy Spirit, he takes us in the same frequency and he keeps moving, connecting us, uniting us. And I do believe he wants to take you in this season as well. I do want to share out of my personal encounter that I had like not too long time ago, and it's still fresh with me. And I had like really big urge in my heart, like pull of Holy Spirit to share it with you. I only shared it with my closed group of people, with my team, with my, you know, close friends. It's something that really, really marked my life. It's something that took me somewhere I've never been before. And this is an encounter that it was one of the most powerful encounters in my life. My first one, of course, my first encounter, the one that we, you know, go through corporately and you just get hit by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God, by His love. But then Holy Spirit, He wants to take you further. A lot of people, they go through their first encounter and they get satisfied with it. And they think this is their only powerful encounter they can ever experience. And they stop seeking Him at home. They stop pursuing Jesus at home, just like they were pursuing there for the 3 days. For some reason, that hunger goes away. That desperation for Him, it just fades away for some reason. And people get satisfied again with routine and daily lives. But I know this is the season, this is the year where Jesus will be taking people, his beloved ones, into crazy one-on-one encounters, because He wants to continuously take you from glory to glory, continuously encounter you and continuously dig deeper inside of Him so you can have that one-on-one experience. And this encounter happened, I will share a little preface. Maybe before I go on, I will tell you the name of the message today. It's called, we will be talking about bridal paradigm. Paradigm, it's a smart word, meaning basically the way of looking at the reality, the way of looking at the certain concept, reality. So the bridal paradigm, and we will be talking about part one today. It's called Overcoming the Mountain of Separation. I will be speaking through from the book of Songs, Song of Songs. It's something that we don't preach a lot from the stage. You know, this book been like coded for some time. A lot of times I would just skip it like through the Bible because like I know it's something intimate there. There's like a love story of King Solomon and his, you know, the girl that he loved. And this is pretty much all I saw in that book. But after this encounter that happened to me, when Jesus, walked into my room and He started speaking to me from that specific book. And I wish we had more time to uncover all the revelation and treasure out of it. But because of lack of time, I mean, each chapter, it's such huge depth. Each chapter, it's like a journey that you can explore and explore something that we go through. Because the book of Song of Songs, it is a prototype. It is something that relates to our relationship with Jesus, the seasons we go through, our exchange with Him. And at that time, when we were gathering with our prayer group, we also personally and corporately, we felt like we exhausted everything that Holy Spirit gave us for that season, that we used up all oil. We, you know, when the Lord releases fresh oil on you and you walk in it, you know, and then time, it's time for the next fresh oil. You cannot run on your previous season oil all the time. There is going to be time you will dry out that source and you have to go deeper. You have to pursue. So At that time, we had the pull of Holy Spirit to go to like a marathon prayer, where he told us, you have to get together in the room for a whole month, for 4 weeks. You will be there every day, cultivating my fire, cultivating my presence, seeking my face. Every day you will split in groups of people. So my fire will not go out. So you will, you know, keep igniting and igniting that fire. And I believe we went fasting at that time as well. Even though we did not see the whole picture, why we were doing this, what's outcome, what's gonna happen after that, out of obedience for Holy Spirit, we went fasting, we gathered there every day, just praying, seeking His face. And then I remember on the last day of that marathon prayer, it was Thursday. Other group was praying there, and at that time it was my day off. I was at home, and I remember it was around like 10 o'clock or a little after 10 in the evening, when all family is asleep, and especially if you're, you know, working mom and, you know, two little kids and husband and a lot of chores, this is your only you time. Like, this is me time. Finally, the house is quiet. Nobody's gonna bug me. I was like, okay, I was tired. I was kind of like half asleep already, but okay, I'll take my Bible. I'll just maybe read a couple of chapters before I go to bed. And I took my Bible and I just opened it. I did not even start reading anything yet. I didn't even get chance to even to pick or choose what I will read. Like, I opened it up and something came out of the pages. The presence that I've never ever experienced before. Something just came out and it sucked me in. It's like I was caught off guard. All of us, like, I understood I am in different realm right now. I am in different reality. Yes, I am in my room, but I'm not in my room. And I understood that Jesus was in the room and He pulled me into Himself, and I had experienced Him as all-consuming fire. My body was on fire. I started shaking because my body started reacting to what's going on. I started shaking. I started bawling my eyes because I knew the King of Kings, He's right there. He's in my room, and He pulled me into Him. And I've heard He said, open up the book of Song of Songs. I will speak you from that book. You know, sometimes when we ask God, oh, speak to us, we want to hear you, and we sit in the quietness and we're waiting, this voice from heaven will come and start speaking to you. A lot of times He will speak to you through the word, because He is the living word. So He told me, open up the book of Song of Songs and I will speak to you from there. I was like, okay, but I don't really understand what's going on there. What, Jesus, what can you tell me from the Song of Songs? And then, guys, I did it. And the first thing He started speaking to me from, this is the words that He started speaking to me. It's Song of Songs, chapter 2, starting verse 10. And I know a lot of you in this season where he will be speaking to you today, and He has been speaking to you. But first, before that happened, you have to find yourself in a place of hunger. You have to be in a place of hunger. You have to be in a place of pursuing Him, even though you feel dry, even though you feel like your prayers are not getting anywhere. And actually, before that, let's just rewind a little bit. I just want to kind of explain what's going on before King Solomon and Shulamite, and how we are related to it. Because we know King Solomon, and he fell in love with this girl. Her name is Shulamite. She was not a royal. She did not have any royal ancestry. She was just a regular, like, poor girl. Because she talks about herself, how her skin is dark and how skin is scorched, and she did not want him to look at her, how she asked him to turn away, but then he keeps telling her how beautiful she is. So what's interesting, what caught my attention, the words Solomon and Shulamite are taken from the same Hebrew root word, So Solomon is the masculine form of it, and Shulamite is the feminine word of it, okay? So it's the same word. One is masculine, one is feminine. So, and it really reflects to us, it really relates to us. It's like a prototype of our union with our King, because we are of one spirit. We are of one, once we get born again, we're becoming one with Him. And their whole story, it's like a journey, how they become one, how they get connected to each other. So, and when you start reading from the first chapter, she is in the place of hunger where she calls on Him. And chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, she speaks to Him. Your presence releases the fragrance so pleasing over and over poured out. Draw me into your heart. So she is in a place of hunger. She understands she's in need. She has this void that nobody can fill in, and she invites Him. Remember in Revelation, Jesus says, here I am at the door and I knock and I wait who will respond and will let me in, and I will come and I will have a like communion with Him. Remember? So Jesus is at the door. He's just waiting to be invited by you. He's waiting for you to pursue Him. Okay, so it starts with your hunger. So do not ignore if you feel you are in a season and you are exhausted your oil of the previous season and you are in your dry place. And if you have this pull to go fasting, go fasting. If you feel this pull to do something that Holy Spirit is pulling you to do, do not ignore that. Because at that time, He is positioning you for the encounter that He prepared for you. And a lot of times, we're just so ignorant and we're missing out on the big encounters, on shifts in our lives, on progressing into Him. So, and this is basically where we were, that this is where I was at. At that time, like, yeah, I would pray. Nothing much, you know, happened during my prayers. So I was like, I know I have to read the Word. And this is what I did faithfully. So, and at the time, like I said, the marathon prayer was the last day of marathon. Out of obedience, we did that. And on the last day of that, He showed up. He came into my room. He's tangible, fiery, like mind-blowing presence got manifested. And this is the words that He started speaking to me. And I just want to release those words over you for those who are in this season and for those who need your fresh encounter, okay? He says, arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. And these words that he started speaking to me, I have come as you have asked me. He said, I have come as you have asked me. If you feel like you are asking and seeking and nothing happening, do not stop. He will come. He will show up. He will manifest, okay? I have come as you have asked me to draw you into my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. And here I am, I'm sitting on my floor, I'm like shaking, and I know, I understand, I'm inside of Him. I'm inside of all consuming fire, because Jesus is all consuming fire. And He's speaking, He's releasing those words right into your spirit, where every bone, every atom, like every cell of your body is just react to it, and you feel like you're going to be blown up in like thousands and millions of pieces because His presence is so strong. And this is the words He's speaking, but at the same time there was so much love and gentleness, and there's so much the human language is so poor and mere when it comes to description of this encounter. So like, How do I even tell this? How can I express what I feel? But you guys, when you have it, you'll understand me. And I'm sure some of you guys, you had those encounters. So He says, the season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. And the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. So this is the words, this is on the first night when it showed up. And it's interesting that that encounter did not end there. As I told you before, it was a little bit after like 10 o'clock when I opened up my Bible. And then I got caught up in this whirlwind of fire and his presence. By the time I was not even able to walk to my bed, I crawled out of that. Really, I was on my fours crawling out from my living room to my bedroom because the presence was so strong. I looked at my watch and it was like almost 1:30 a.m. in the morning, almost 2 a.m. in the morning. I was like, where did the time go? You feel like you lose the sense of time. You just completely in a different reality. And what's interesting, those encounters repeatedly for a couple of months, I knew I had to go back into my room, and I knew those are night encounters because I was pulled to do the nighttime with Jesus. Again, I would wait until everybody's asleep. About 11 p.m., I would get into my living room. I would open my Bible, and then I got sucked out into his spirit again. And then he had this exchange, and he was speaking more and more and more. I remember those 2 months, I was sleep deprived. Because I could not get out of that couch like until 2 a.m. And at 7, you already have to wake up and get ready for work and get your day. I was so sleep deprived. I remember I was sitting at work, I'm trying to answer the call. But at the same time, you are still under this cloud. You go to work and people, your work, it's so unreal. It's like something so... It's like it's not your reality. You don't belong there. Your mind, your heart, your thoughts, or emotions are in that encounter. And you're just looking and waiting on the time, like when the 10 o'clock is going to come or 11 o'clock, I want to go back to my living room because I know he's waiting for me there again. So I remember I was like physically, I was sleep deprived. I mean, a lot of times I would had... After I put my kids to bed, I would have to really force myself because my body was physically tired. I had to force myself to go to the living room, 11 o'clock, open my Bible. But as soon as I did that, something just came over and I would lose sleep. I would not want to go to bed. I would have that fresh encounter over and over when he was speaking more things. He was taking me into different parts of him. It was life changing. It's like you have your life from before and after, okay? So, and this is what I will be speaking today. This is something that he was speaking to me during those encounters, what he was teaching me. So I want to talk again about the journey that we get into once we getting ourselves in a place of hunger and you get your that fresh encounter, okay? So, let's keep moving. And then it continues on Song of Songs, chapter 2:13. This is the words he said next. Can you not discern the new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. And then I just want to stop on these words real quick. You know, a lot of times we're just so caught up with trying to finding out who we are in Christ, our identity, our purpose, our function, our ministries, that we got so caught up, and this is really, it becomes an idol in our lives. Okay? And we have so many questions. What is my next step? Where am I supposed to be? Who am I? But you know, when Jesus steps into the room, when you have this encounter with him, all of a sudden, those questions, they are all gone. You don't have any more questions. Things just make sense to you. Before, I remember you would have like when you live, you know, this life in your routine, when you did not have fresh encounter for a long time, it's like you're becoming double-minded. You question a lot of things. Like, why am I going through this situation? Why are these people attacking me? Why am I going through this? And you start complaining to God. You start, you know, just like whining. But when he steps in, when you have this encounter with him, all of that just falls away. You just don't care anymore. Things just make sense. You understand why you're going through certain situations. You understand why you have certain unpleasant encounter with people. It just makes sense. You understand who you are in him, because you understand your purpose, because you realize not my ministry is my purpose, not my function is my identification, but he is one. He is my identity. And this is what comes. He says, can you not discern the new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of the budding vines, a new life and now blooming everywhere. So basically, when he comes into your life, all of a sudden, the purpose walks in. You don't have to chase your purpose. You don't have to try every door. What if this is my purpose? What if this is me? I need to try everything, because Bible says, test everything and pick whatever is, you know. No. You, when he comes, the whole purpose, the destiny walks into you. It just takes over, and you know who you are at this moment, what you have to do at that moment, what the next step you have to do in the moment. You have revelation. You don't need to look for it. You don't need to seek it. You don't have to chase it. But we put everything upside down, okay? So, and then he continued with these words. There is a change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. So this is what he wants to do. He wants to set you apart. He wants to take you to the higher places. More than you think you want to get out of your dry season and how you're tired of everything. He wants to do that for you more than you want it. He's just waiting for you. Just make that step of obedience, not giving up on seeking him, not giving up on, you know, pursuing him. And you'll see what's gonna invade your life. Really, he's invading your life. It's like he's been waiting for it. Things will start making sense. You will have less questions and more peace and confidence in him. And then in Song of Songs, chapter 2, 14, 15. And then this is what he says. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship and lovely your voice in prayer. Do you realize how much he enjoys your eyes of worship and your lovely voice of prayer? Even though in your weakest moments, you feel like my prayer is not even getting anywhere. My prayer is not alive because I don't feel the presence. Because you are trying to be that raider, you know, if prayer was anointed or not. He craves your worship. He craves your prayer. Even if it's 5 minutes when you're driving to work, or even if you have this 10 minutes of walk to school or whatever time, he craves that. And it really touches his heart. He enjoys that. He wants to see that. But then he says these words, you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyards of love and ruin what I have planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? He's asking. Will we do it together? So I want to bring your attention. What are those foxes that he's talking about? Because it is our responsibility to discern, to recognize them and remove them, and he will help you. Those foxes are little distraction, like little distractions. Everything that's trying to steal your attention of him, to steal your focus of him. Compromises that we allow in our lives, those little things, they start hindering your relationship with Jesus. And he said, this is your responsibility. Have you had those moments? Like, I can give you an example how it can come and like sneak into your life. Have you had those moments where you had fresh touch of God, like fresh touch, love of Jesus, and you are home, you're like fired up. Every day you just pulled into your room. You want to read Bible. You want to spend time with him. You driving and you feel like Holy Spirit in the car and you want to pray. You want to listen to worship. You fired up. You're spending time every day. And then one day you decide like, well, I am on fire. Everything is good. I'll just spend whole day and we'll watch all seasons of my favorite show in one day or something, you know? Like, I mean, I'm good. My relationship with Jesus is good. It's okay. I can afford that, you know? Nothing's going to happen. I will still be on fire. And you miss one day of spending with him. The next day comes. You get busy with something else. Your attention, your focus is shifted away. You missed another day. Oh, believe me, devil, he will make sure. He will fill your schedule up. He will make sure you will not go to that place of intimacy because he is terrified what happens to you there. He will do everything not to let you go. And little by little, those are little foxes, little compromise, little distractions. They will flood your life even more and more. And then you realize, oh my goodness, it's been weeks. It's been months. And I have not spent time with him one-on-one. And then what happens? You feel like that hunger is gone. It's like everything becomes boring to you. You try to read, but your, you know, focus just drifts off. Those thoughts, they do not let you to get deeper. That's it. They feel like you lost connection again. Okay? And you know what's interesting? People around you, you can seem to them like, oh, he's walking on fire, or she's walking on fire because she preaches on stage, or she prays, or he prays on stage. He's giving us revelations on cell groups, but only you know where are you personally with him? Where is that connection? Okay? So enemy will make sure that those foxes were there to ruin that vineyard. You know, have anybody read the book by Anna Rountree, The Priestly Bride? How many of you read the book? The older generation. It's a pretty old, you guys. I do encourage you find that book online on YouTube. You can listen to it. You can read Anna Rountree, The Priestly Bride. It is a lady and she actually lives in South Carolina. She's still alive. But back in the day, she was also like in a place of hunger and she was seeking the Lord and she started having these encounters with Jesus where she was taken up to heaven and to this the spiritual experiences. And one of the experiences, she was caught up, she saw herself in a beautiful garden and she walks in a beautiful garden and she sees those beautiful colors, the perfect groom grass. These buds like of flowers, bushes, everything is so perfectly groomed. Everything you could see somebody was caring for it. And she sees Jesus in that garden and she's asking, like, Jesus, who is taking care of this garden? And it's like garden, it's like so secluded. There's no people there. It's just like her and him there. And she's asking, Jesus, who's taking care of this garden? I don't see anybody. And he tells her, it's you. She's like, what do you mean it's me? It's during my intimacy with you, you make that garden thrive. Every time you spend time with me, the new bush, the new flower, the new, something new blooms. And this garden becomes more and more and beautiful. And this is where Jesus loves to come to have time with us because we are his garden. We are his like secret, secluded place where he enjoys to be. And then we're going to go further. Chapter 2, verse 16, 17. So here is Shelemiah. She's having encounter with her beloved one. He invited her to go higher. Remember, she's like, let's go away. I want to take you higher. But please take care of those foxes. They're ruining and hinder our relationship. And this is what she says in verse 16 and 17. She says, I know my lover is mine and I have everything in you. She realizes that without him, I mean, he's everything that she has. But But until the day springs to life and the shifting shadows of fear disappear, she says to him, turn around, my lover, and ascend to the holy mountain of separation without me. Go ahead to the mountain of spices. I will come another time. This is why I call this topic today the mountain of separation. So basically, when she got invitation to go deeper, she's like, no, you go. I'll come some other time. So basically, she put this relationship with him on hold. And a lot of times, that's what we do. By allowing those foxes and distractions and compromises, we put our relationship on hold and we stop progressing in intimacy with him. Okay? So, you know, sometimes when we try to call like insurance companies, or if you try to like call like somewhere to make an appointment, and you know, the agent picks up the phone and you tell them what you need and they ask you, can you please hold? And then you sit there on hold for 20 minutes listening to annoying music. And then after that, agent comes back on a phone and you can go on and you basically pick up where you left off. And we think we can do the same thing with Jesus. We think, okay, Lord, I'm not really ready to commit. I have a good time with you. I love our encounters. I love our time, but I have other important things. And, you know, we get carried away and we think we put Jesus on hold. And after we are done chasing other things, we think we're just going to go back to the same place and take off where we left off with Jesus. It does not work like that. And then people find themselves in the place where they're trying to do the same thing they did before to pursue him, and where they had their breakthrough and shift happening, and all of a sudden it just doesn't work anymore. You pray, you fast, and the presence is gone. Have you found yourself in a situation like when it's like you allowed, you know, his intimacy slip out of your hands, and then you all of a sudden you come back to senses, oh, I need to get back into my intimacy with Jesus, and you're trying and trying and nothing happens. So in a spirit realm, there is a mount of separation where Jesus, where she refers to, she tells him, ascend to the holy mountain of separation without me. Go ahead to the mountain of spices. I will come away with you next time. Do you know what mountain of spices represents in a spirit? It will be described in the next chapters, which we don't will not have time to get there, maybe some other time. But mountain of spices, it's the exchange when you get into this intimate time with Jesus, the exchange, things you release to that to him, things he speak to you. It releases certain spices in the spirit, and each spice that is listed there, it has a deep spiritual meaning. It has really like deep prophetic meaning. Everything that is mentioned there has a deep spiritual meaning. So basically, she says, go ahead to the mountain of spices. So you're like, you know, Jesus, you stay in that place of intimacy. I'm busy. We just get caught up with life. We get caught up with other things. And we just, you know, put him on hold. And then this is what happens. In chapter 3, verse 1. We're still in a Song of Songs. That's the only book that we will be in today. Like, I wish we had more time to uncover. I really have to pick out the, you know, the like top like key moments to go. But there's so much revelation, guys. If you really start studying the book, you will be surprised what you can find there. So anyway, chapter 3, verse 1. She says, night after night, I'm tossing and turning on my bed of travail. Why did I let him go from me? How my heart now aches for him, but he's nowhere to be found. This is the place when you realize, oh my gosh, I lusted what I got, like when I went through encounter, like a lot of people, they go like encounter. We heard a lot of awesome testimonies today. And these ladies, they went home fired up. And I'm just praying that when they go home and they will continue their daily lives, they will guard it, they will protect what they receive there, and to make that, you know, grow and just keep growing into that experience. But then when you realize that you lost it, our spirit, it gets into the place of travail. It cannot find peace. You're trying to, there's a void that is left that only Jesus can fill up. And you're trying to be busy with life, fill out, you know, with chasing your dreams, making your goals, achievements. But then there's still, but your spirit does not have peace. It's crying, it's groaning inside because it wants to go back to that place. It does not let you to be satisfied and to find pleasure in things that you do. So the first sign of disconnection with Jesus, losing peace and realizing things that you have been focusing on do not satisfy you if there's no Jesus in them. You will be doing ministry, you will be doing your like cell groups, but you feel like there is no Jesus in them because the personal connection has lost. It's all is left is just empty form, empty facade, when yes, you can fool people around you, but you cannot fool Holy Spirit and you cannot fool yourself. Okay, you will be personally, you will be in this place of misery until you get reconnected to that source, reconnected to your first love. You know, have you seen those people? It amazed me. I've seen people who got like really powerful encounters with Jesus, have like powerful testimonies. And then like, I remember back in the day when I was ministering on encounters and you listening to those testimonies, you listening how they got delivered, how they got filled up and how life changed. And then year two passes and you're hearing like, that person went back to their old lives, you know, doing like living or like worldly, you know, sinful lives. And it always amazed me, like how can you go back after you encounter Jesus? And then Holy Spirit started explaining to me, like those who go back to their old lives, in reality, they never had a real encounter with Jesus. Yes, they got impacted by somebody's testimony. They got somebody's revelation, touched their emotions, and under the emotions, they got caught up. And for a moment, they were willing to be with Jesus, but then, you know, those little foxes, compromises would come and they would just easily were able to let it go. Those people did not have real encounter because once you have your personal, real, life-changing encounter, you will not be able to go back. Even if you try, you will not find peace. Your spirit will be in travail until you go back to that first love. Only there you will feel happy, complete, whole, and you will feel like you live with a purpose in your life. Yes. So, and this is what was happening to Shulamite. Once she said to her beloved, you go to the mountain of separation, I will come some other time. And then she's like, what have I done? I lost the love of my life. I lost that, you know, my first love. And then in chapter 3, verse 2, this is what she says. So I must rise in search of him, looking throughout the city, seeking until I find him. Even if I have to roam through every street, nothing will keep me from my search. Where is he? My soul's true love. And he's nowhere to be found. So she is looking, okay? She's going through the streets. She's going, maybe she's like to other like cell groups, you know, trying to go to like, she's going like, maybe you try to do everything you can to gain that back. And then, I just want to let you know, be careful before we go on. I just want to do this remark before we go on. When you, in a place of disconnection, when you miss out on your personal time with him, you think that you stay in the same place where you left off, but in reality, you are regressing. When we are spending time with Jesus and go intimate, we are progressing. We go up and up on that mountain, you know, of intimacy with them. But when we get caught up with life and we think, oh, I will just pick up where I left off. No, you will find yourself at the bottom of the mountain where you have to make more effort to go where you left off and then go higher. This is why after you lose that, if you don't guard it, if you don't protect that, you know, this relationship with him, you will see to get the fire back will make you effort. And this is what she's describing. She's trying to get it back. She's trying to look for him. She's seeking him, but he's nowhere to be found. But then in Song of Songs, the next verse, chapter 3, verse 3, she says, "Then I encountered the overseers as they," remember, she's roaming the streets of the city. She said, "Then I encountered the overseers as they encircled the city. So I asked them, 'Have you found him, my heart's true love?'" So overseers, who are these overseers? It represents other voices, preachers, teachers, ministries, churches. So she is trying to find her first love through mediators, basically from someone who can bring his voice to her. Sometimes we're caught up in this season where we're trying to, we have this hunger for him, but we're trying to find him through other people's voices, okay? And then she says in the chapter 3, verse 4, she says, "Just as I moved past them, I encountered him." So I found the one I adore. So she was trying to find it through other people's testimonies. Like, this is what we do in a day. When we get this hunger, we try to feed. And it's okay for the season to use other sources, you know, to get stronger spiritually, to feed, to nourish ourselves. But then, even then, it will dissatisfy you. You will not find, you will feel like, nope, there's something more. This is not enough for me. I need something deeper. And then she goes past that. She said, "Just as I moved past them." So she's like, nope, this is time when I do my own personal search again. And then she encountered him. She said, "I found the one I adore." So I want to encourage you, if you feel like you have lost that, because it's life and we go through seasons, we get carried away. We do sometimes could get, you know, get caught up in routine. Do not, if you make an effort to go back to that place, do not lose hope. Because this is the moment where enemy will try to interfere. Not try, I will, for sure, he will interfere to convince you that that's it. You've lost it. This is all you're going to have. He's not going to hear you anymore. Your prayers are pointless. You will read the Bible. This is all you're going to get. It's never going to get exciting for you anymore. So you get discouraged and you stop pursuing him. You just agree with the state of misery and travail. And that's a lot of people get depressed and they allow things, you know, old things from their lives to come into their lives because they say, like, what's the point? I'm praying. Nothing's happening. I'm reading the Bible, nothing's happening to me. What's the point of seeking? I cannot get that connection again, okay? So we just need to make sure we need to press through that. We need to break through that. You will find him, I promise you will find him. And he will encounter you with even more passion and love and life-changing encounter. So, continuation of verse 4. So after she found him and she says, "I caught him and I fastened myself to him, refusing to be feeble in my heart." It means refusing to be weak in my heart again. So she's like, this time after you find it, she's like, "I refuse to be weak in my heart again. Like, I will make sure this time I'm not losing this. This time I will protect my relationship with everything I can. I will guard it. I will remove, if needed, certain people out of my life. I will remove certain activities out of my life. I will remove anything, but I will not allow those foxes to come in between us and hinder and steal that fresh love with him." So, and now, she says, "Now I'll bring him back to the temple within where I was given new birth into my innermost parts, the place of my conceiving." What is the place she's speaking? After overcoming the mountain of separation, she's determined to protect the intimacy and connection with the beloved. And the place that she's speaking, the innermost parts of place of my conceiving, this is the place where our spirit was born in the first place. When we got born again, when this is the place when the first time we tasted His goodness, we tasted when we became one spirit. So she goes back to that place again. Remember in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus is speaking to the church of Ephesus, the one who lost the first love. Remember the words He said to the church? But I have this thing against you. You have abandoned the passion love you had for me in the beginning. Think about how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place of influence if you do not repent. Pretty much that's what happened to that church. It just really, when that church lost the first love, because when you read it before, that church achieved a lot. It had successful ministry. They went through suffering for Jesus. They were found faithful. They had the spirit of discernment, the prophetic spirit amidst them. But then they lost that fresh love. And Jesus said, if you don't go to that first place, I will remove the influence. I will remove your lampstand. So, and when you go back to Song of Songs, Shulamite says, I will bring my bridegroom, him back to the temple within where I was given the new birth when she was born, when she was awakened first to His love. So she's coming back to that love. Okay. We are almost there. I don't want to keep you up long. And then, I just want to encourage you guys today. I just had, like I said, I had this like strong urge to release this word today because I feel like some of you stuck into that season where like some of you are even about to give up. Something was lost along the way. Something was lost, or maybe you are in this dry season and you don't know how to make that next step. And what's interesting, that's something that we will not have time to cover today, hopefully next time. I really would like to go to the part two. In this place, in all this experience, you know, the first love, losing that, coming back to it, if you read carefully, you do not see Jesus calling her bride yet. She is not, even though it's the first step, there's something else has to happen where He, in other chapters, He called her bride. And we will talk about it next time. What happened? How did she become His bride? Because a lot of Christians, they say, oh, I'm the bride of Jesus. We're the bride. Missing the whole point of you do not decide to be a bride. After certain encounters, after certain decisions in your life, when he starts speaking to you, he calls you bride, and your spirit responds. And from that moment, you know you're the bride. But this is the first steps. She just decided, like, that's it. I lost this once. This time, I'm not losing you. I'll do everything not to lose what I gained the first time. And in the next chapter, I will not read it, but the chapter 4, the Holy Spirit, there is the whole song, and He speaks how He rejoices that the bridegroom finally he gained His loved one back, and He's on a way to get betrothed. But, you know, there's a word, betrothal. It's an ancient Jewish word where a couple got engaged, but that engagement back in the day looked a lot different. During the engagement time, betrothal, the bride, she would get ready for the role she is about to take. She would start making connections with his family. She would, like, you know, there's a lot of preparation. He would give, the bridegroom would give a ransom to the family, which to us, it's the Holy Spirit. He was given to us as the seal that we are betrothed to Him. So, but something we'll talk about next time. Not enough time today. But I just want to let you know, this is the process. She's not bride yet. Nowhere He's calling her. He's calling her my beautiful, my beloved, my dearest, but not a single time mentioned that she's bride yet. So, but I want to leave off here, and I just want you guys to stand up, and really, I want to pray with you. If you want to come out, you're welcome to. If you want to get like a personal prayer, we have people who can pray for you. But I would like to pray and release that fresh encounter. I don't know if we have musicians here today or they all left, but it's okay. We will still pray. If you need fresh touch of God, if you feel like you got stuck in the dry season, if you don't know how to get there, we'll just ask Holy Spirit to touch you, to help you, to encounter you, because the urge, like, I know why Jesus asked me to share this word today, because he's about to encounter many of you, because he's seen travail of your heart. You might walk around, you might smile, you might act normal, but only you and him know how miserable you feel inside, because there is a void that does not give you peace. You cannot find peace in that. So I just want to pray for you today, and let's just pray for you, because I know God will touch you. You guys will get your encounters. And I know those encounters will grow from one level of glory to another level of glory, because this is the year where Jesus is calling back his beloved ones, where he's pulling, because he's preparing. This is the time of preparation. This is the time of preparation for the last days, for the outpour of Holy Spirit. This is the time, because I know God showed us so many things that he wants to do through his church, the manifestations, the glory, the signs, wonders, and miracles that are coming into church, not because church is chasing them, but because she's sold out, she attached to him so much, and he knows he can trust those people. Because what is coming, not everybody, the level of authority, the level of power, the level of manifestation, not anybody can be trusted, but only those who are completely sold out, who are completely consumed by him, those will be entrusted. So Holy Spirit, I ask you today, touch your beloved ones. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and encounter your beloved ones, wherever they are, whatever they do. Please pull him into yourself, Jesus. Do not let them have peace until they go back in you, until they see you and feel you again. I just want to break the spirit of lies and the spirit of discouragement. In Jesus' name, I want to silence the voice of the enemy that is saying to you that there is no future. There is nothing more for you out there. I just want to bind that in a spirit and have Holy Spirit overtake you. I'm just asking his all-consuming fire consume you, overtake you, and pull you in his presence. I release fresh new encounters with the word of God. Speak, Jesus. Oh, speak to each one of them through your word, Lord. Just touch every heart and take us all deeper. We're so hungry for you. We cannot be satisfied with anything. Only you, Jesus, can satisfy our hunger. Only you, Jesus, can satisfy our need. I'm releasing that life-changing encounters where you will be commissioning, marking, where you will be setting apart your bride. Thank you, Jesus. Fresh encounters, deep encounters. We release the love encounters over the room in the spontaneous, unexpected places, spontaneous times. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, teach us how to be obedient, how to respond when you start pulling, when you start calling. I do prophesy that obedience is coming. Obedience is coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Encounters with your spirit, encounters with your heart, encounters with the love of the Father, Because this is why Jesus, this is where Jesus wants to take you. This is the holy mountain, the mountain of Zion. This is the place of encounter with the Father. And Jesus wants to take you there. He wants you to experience with a personal knowledge, with a personal knowledge and personal experiences. Not based on somebody else's testimonies. This is the year we prophesy. This is the year of your testimony. This is the year of your encounter. This is the year of your deep knowledge of Him. This is the your year. And we will not settle with anything else, Lord. We will be pressing through. We will be pursuing you, no matter how much time or how much effort it will take. We will be breakthrough, and we will not be satisfied with what we have, because we want more. We want more, and nothing will quench that fire inside of us. Nothing will quench that hunger inside of us to go after you, to go after you. Lord, you are our necessity. You are the requirement, Lord. You are our necessity. Yes, Lord, we choose you every day above everything else. We're making you an ultimate goal, an ultimate purpose, an ultimate desire. Deeper into your heart, deeper into your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let His love just overtake you. Overtake you. Take you to the new depths and new heights. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes. Take us to that mountain. Take us to the mountain of spices. Take us to the mountain of intimacy. Take us to the mountain. Yes, Lord. We say yes. We will take care of those distractions. All the foxes, they're trying to hinder our relationship. We will protect and guard your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good. I know this is the time for you to taste His goodness, to taste Him in a new, fresh way. If you think that your previous encounter was blind, was mind blowing, or get ready what He will do with you, where He will take you, just get ready. Oh, get ready. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.